Blog Talk Radio.
Nation. I'm Brian Gould, Titanium Satellite.
And I'm Michael Williams, K4EST. Happy New Year, Satellite Nation. Welcome to our special CES, that's the Consumer Electronics Show edition of Satellite Nation. Joining us tonight from the floor will be Scott Ruskowski, Honor Satellite Guys, and Dave Wallace from GotSeedBin.com. So get ready to call in to our live show tonight for this great episode, 877-FAT-GUYS. That's 1-877-728-4897. And if you're an international caller, you just want to save us a little money, you can call 347-327-9319.
All right. Dave has done some great interviews with us tonight. Some of the interviews are like with EchoStar with their new Sage project one with TiVo, and they have a monster drive on that new DVR. One with Sling on the new Dish product and their IPTV service, and a couple others if we have time off the CS floor. And then Scott Grakowski also has some great scoops and inside news, and we're really looking forward to hearing this.
Yeah, sounds good. And don't forget, guys, if you ever miss an episode of Satellite Nation or something, want to catch one, you can always go to satelliteguys.us and go down to the Satellite Nation archives, and they're all on there. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/satellitenationradio. And follow us on Twitter at SatNatRadio.
All right. And then also just want to give a special thanks to Scott over at SatelliteGuys.us and Satellite Guys Radio, and Dave over at GotSeeBand for the use of the IceCast server. And also Dave is going to be starting a new segment with our show, and he's going to be knocking it off in a big style tonight with some reports off the floor at CES. But we're going to be talking about the new segment that he's going to be bringing to the show here in a little bit. Also want to thank Ralph Black. Now, usually he puts us up on G19, and it's
usually
he puts us up on G19. And it seems like this evening we're not up on G19. So as soon as I hand it over to you guys, I'm going to drop a little email over to Ralph and find out. Maybe he fell asleep at the console. Also, want to thank KE4EST and his store, www.nc-electronics.com. And
and don't forget your store, Brian, at www.titaniumsatellite.com.
Now that we've promoted all the .coms, got C-band, nc-electronics.com, and titaniumsatellite.com, we also want to just bring in Dave and Scott. Welcome, guys. Glad you could join us from Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas.
Good evening, guys.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Scott, you're going to have to give us a little more level out of there, but we can barely hear you, but welcome to the show, guys. Hey, we're going to start with you, Dave. Let's go ahead and just talk about the new segment that you're bringing to Satellite Nation, and it's going to be a weekly news segment. So tell us a little bit about what you have planned.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to scour around and find the best of the best of the news and satellite-related stuff and bring it to you guys every week, and looking forward to it.
That sounds really interesting, and you've kind of kicked it off in a big style. You're out on the floor quite busy at CES, aren't you?
Yes, sir. So ran around like a wild man, tried to get as many interviews as I could, and saw some really neat things this year, satellite-related.
We really appreciate that.
Definitely. Now, I got a chance to listen to a couple of them that you sent over, and the Satellite Nation is going to be able to hear some of them here in a little bit. But, boy, there's some great stuff coming off of the floor this year. Dave, what is your favorite product, or what's really caught your eye this year?
Well, you know, it's not totally satellite-related, but I was blown away by this new SoundBlaster X7 sound card that's an external device. It does, I'm not an audiophile, so I don't know all the techno there, but it does decoding. It will let you hook passive speakers up to 100 watts of power, and it's amazing. It just blew me away. They have a little booth where they take you in, I think, about 30 people, and do a demonstration, and it was amazing. So I would have, so far I'd have to say that.
SoundBlaster X7?
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
Okay. Dave, that must be geared for the home theater PC, or just anything you want to use it for?
They're using it. I think their main target market is probably gamers and audiophiles. The quarter inch headphone jack in it will actually allow you to power headphones up to 600 ohms, and it is amazing. I mean, it's $399. And, you know, I've never seen a sound card for a computer before that lets you hook passive speakers up to it that has an amplifier built in.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Now, this gives us a chance to bring in Scott Krakowski. Welcome to the show, Scott. What from CES this year hits you as something special?
You know, this year at CES was mediocre, to say the least. A lot of 4K. And a lot of the stuff that they were showing was not on the CES show floor. It was actually out in parking lots, self-driving cars, that kind of thing. For the coolest thing for me, being a satellite guy, that I saw was actually from Dish, and that was their radio app, which they're releasing later this year. What that does is it turns your Hopper network into a Sonos, so you can listen to music anywhere in the house and stream it, and it plays through the best speakers in your house, which is your surround sound system. And later on this summer, you'll be able to listen to Satellite Guys Radio right through your Hopper.
Cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Very cool. Now, it sounded like it was kind of nothing that really caught your attention there, but, you know, I understand that Sling and Dish Network has come out with something interesting and new.
Yeah, they've come out with Sling Television, which is a new online over-the-top, I don't know where the term over-the-top came from, but over-the-top streaming service where you can subscribe for $20 a month and get channels like ESPN and CNN and Food Network and a bunch of others, and you can watch them anywhere on any device for just $20 a month.
That is very cool. Now, we're going to go ahead and we're going to be playing some stuff on some other things that Dave found on the floor. What are the primary products there? 4K? Are they teasing us with 8K? What are you seeing?
Well, we've seen some 8K. We saw a 110-inch 8K screen yesterday. It also did 3D without glasses. And it was very, very nice looking. And 110 inches is the absolute minimum amount of screen space you need to be able to tell the difference between 4K and 8K. I don't think we'll ever see it in a home. And I was talking to one of the engineers And the demo they were showing was being served off a video playing server that had 80 terabytes of storage on it. Just to make that little two-minute clip go around.
Yeah, let's start streaming that over our networks.
But if you're a hotel or something like that and want to build a nice big video wall, this makes it look like you're looking right out a window. And it legitimately, you can't tell the difference between looking out a window and looking at the screen.
What are you seeing? Flat screens? Curved screens? What are you seeing?
I'm disappointed. I've seen a lot of curved screens, and I'm not a curved screen fan.
I'm not either.
How about you, Dave? What are you seeing, and what do you like?
I'll tell you, the Samsung S-UHD was pretty impressive, but it was a curved screen. Didn't really see all that much, with 8K. You know, they had a lot of 4K. Dish came out with that new Joey 4K, but there's still no content, really, for the 4K. So, if you want to watch the same movie 20 times, I guess it might be good right now, but,
Yeah, but, if you think about it, the content does exist. They just have to rescan it. I mean, most movies were shot in, on film stock. And they might have been scanned in at a lower res, but a couple years ago when I was down at CES last year, I rode back in a taxi with a guy from one of the major studios, and his job was to procure storage space. And, of course, the names that you hear, Amazon, Google, they were the main people that were providing storage space for this network. No, it wasn't Sony. But, the product does exist, so all they need to do is rescan. I mean, I can imagine, as they go through the archives, they'll probably pull out the gangbusters first and rescan them in a high res. But, they could bring some stuff to our screens really quickly if we could only get it from their servers to us. Oh, yeah, that problem.
Yeah, I talked to a friend from Paramount Pictures, and he told me that a lot of the DVDs, I'm sorry, a lot of the Blu-rays that are out there currently were actually made Blu-ray from 4K Masters. They originally did them in 4K when they did it because that was the conversion they did.
Uh-huh. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and tease everybody to give us a call in.
Phone lines are now open for Satellite Nation. Call us at 877-SAT-GUYS or 877-728-4897.
All right, guys, so get dialing in if you want to talk about some stuff from CES. Now, Dave, you did some interesting interviews. Which one would you like to roll for us first this evening?
Let's do the TiVo one, because when I walked by and saw 24 terabyte, that stopped me dead in my tracks.
That is big storage. All right, so this one's going to be about 10 minutes long. So I'm going to go ahead and mute you guys out, and we're going to be listening to the TiVo interview that Dave did yesterday. Here we go.
Live radio.
And there we go.
So this is Dave, and we're here with Jeff at the TiVo booth, and I'm checking out the Mega 24 terabyte TiVo. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, we're really excited about the TiVo Mega. It'll be released in the first half of 2015. And what it really is a two-rack mountable server rack appliance. It's the largest DVR, consumer DVR, in the marketplace. It actually has two drive bays that each have five drives in them for a total of 10 drives, and they're running in what's called a RAID 5.0 array.
Okay.
So there's redundancy on each five drive bay, and so if you lose one of the drives, you can actually pull that out and hot swap a new drive in, and it'll completely rebuild the system. So there's a redundancy in safety, because when you have 24 terabytes of data, if one drive goes down and you lose your whole system, that'd be a major catastrophe.
Yeah.
So it's a custom machine front aluminum bezel. There's a USB port, so you can plug in an RF dongle in the front. If this is rack mounted, oftentimes it's hard to get the signal outside of the rack. It has light indicators on the front if any of the drives fail. It has 6 tuners, so you can record 6 shows at once.
Okay.
It also has built-in transcoding, so you can stream up to 4 shows simultaneously to mobile devices, Android or iOS.
Now, could that be out of the house, or does it have to be in the house?
Yes, it's both in the home and out of the home.
Okay, okay.
Out of the home, the only restriction is you need to be on Wi-Fi,
okay,
currently, on iOS, and Android is over LTE and Wi-Fi.
Oh, nice, okay.
And so when you're doing the streaming, it can either be previously recorded content or you can actually stream live television as well.
Oh, nice.
So if you're here at CES and there was a local show back in your, where your cable is, you can actually stream the game live here if you didn't have the channel here at your hotel. It's got MoCA networking as well as Ethernet built in, so you can plug it into an Ethernet matrix in the home. Or if you have coax running from the house, you can run it via MoCA, which is nice because you can get both the internet signal that you're going to need for all of the guide data as well as Netflix and the over-the-top apps, as well as your cable signal. Just like our other cable boxes, it works off cable car technology.
Okay.
So you just receive a cable car from your local cable company and plug it in, and that's how you can get the unencrypted channels. Networks in the home, so you could plug several TiVo minis.
That's what I was going to say. That's how you would use for the client for the TV.
Absolutely. So, the recommendation we have is to install via MoCA, because if you've already got the coax going to everywhere where you've got a TV head in, just plug in the Mega, and then all the minis can borrow off this. And the minis have dual functionality as well, so they can, if you want to watch live TV, it does what's called dynamic tuner allocation. So it'll actually borrow one of the 6 tuners from the Mega, or if you didn't have a Mega and you had a TiVo Romeo or Romeo Pro or Romeo Plus, again, this TiVo Mini would borrow a tuner from one of those DVRs and to allow you to watch live TV, and then it actually returns the tuner back to the DVR while you're not watching. But in addition, on the Minis, you're able to access any of the recordings from any of the DVRs in the home. And you're also able to access all the over-the-top apps, so Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Vudu, and what have you. The real nice thing about it is it's really a true multi-room system where any TV on the house, you're going to have the exact same user interface, same experience, access to all of your content from all of your boxes on all of your TVs. So really, you're learning how to use one remote and one interface. And then when you go mobily and you want to place shift, where you're watching content, whether you're in your bedroom, the backyard, or in a hotel across the world, the TiVo app is just a great free companion app where you can access all that content and stream it both in and out of the home. And it also works kind of as a second screen experience, so you can use it as your remote control when you're in front of your TV, and you can use it to change channels. You can use it to browse the guide. You can also use it for IMDb type information about what actors, who is the director, what other shows are they in. It's a real content discovery device. And one of the things that we're really proud of at the show that we're showing off is a new software feature. And this is one of the things, one of the key features that really differentiates TiVo from the cable and satellite provided DVRs is that we're constantly innovating our software. So not only do we release new hardware products, but we have regular software updates where we add new apps, like we just recently added Vudu and Amazon Prime, and we're announcing at the show that we're releasing iHeartRadio.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. But in addition, we update our user interface. And so one of the updates that we've done is what's called One Pass. So what a One Pass is TiVo's historically always had what's called a season pass.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you wanted to watch Big Bang Theory, you would set up a season pass, and you'd choose whether you wanted new and older episodes, repeats and whatnot. You'd allocate how many episodes you want to store and whatnot, and how long to keep them. Well, now that you have internet television, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and those likes, as well as linear TV from your cable provider, we realized that people are watching Big Bang in both places. So what a One Pass will allow you to do, when you get a One Pass to, let's say, Big Bang Theory, in your My Shows, where the folder is, where it stores all the episodes that you've locally recorded, it actually has an episode guide for every episode of Big Bang Theory. So now, if Big Bang, I think, is in season 8, if I just found out about Big Bang, you told me about it, Season 1, Episode 1 may not be in reruns right now. It may not be for a few more months. But if I click on Season 1, Episode 1, it might be available from Amazon, for example. And so I can start watching it on the streaming services and then record only the ones I need. So it's kind of a nice, handy way to consolidate all your content into one discovery area.
From multiple sources.
Correct. From multiple sources. As well as kind of a bookmark for streaming assets. So in addition, movies, for example, you can't really get a season pass to a movie because the movie's a single entity, a single show, and so you can put a bookmark for a streaming movie into my shows now, so you have a quick access point just to launch into whatever movie on Netflix. Exactly. And what we've been doing for a lot of years that really ties all of this together is the TiVo search. And so when you want to look for that asset, say Big Bang Theory or a movie or whatnot, you search it on a TiVo search, and it searches across all the platforms. So linear TV, Infinity On Demand, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Vudu, and it shows you all the places you can access it. And then once you find out where it's accessed, that's when you can set up a one pass. It bookmarks it in my shows, and then you can binge watch to your heart's desire.
Oh, that's, I haven't heard of that before. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody knows that.
Yeah, and then on top of that, it also allows you to conserve some of the storage on your box as well, because now you don't have to record everything if you've got quick links to the streaming assets. So it really allows you to leverage what you're choosing to record based on maybe what's not available streaming, and then save some of that storage. So, you know, it's a really great story. We feel like we've built a really compelling ecosystem, one where, just like with computers now, you know, you've got Apple, Microsoft, and Google, and they've built ecosystems around the computer system. So you've got your desktop, and then you've got your laptop, and you've got your phone device and your tablet, and it's the same user experience, and customers have come to expect this. Right now in the television space, there's not really a single ecosystem. There's usually a smart TV, then there's something, you know, some people will add a Sling box onto theirs, and maybe they'll add a Roku or an Apple TV, and then on top of that, they might have a DVR. So you've got all these different ecosystems that are really separate and siloed from one another. So you can't search all of them at the same time. They have different remotes. You're constantly changing the input on the TV, whereas we really feel like television is just as consumed as computer and phone content. We really feel like that needs to be an ecosystem. So what we've really built out is a really nice and unique, compelling ecosystem where anywhere where you have a screen, we're going to make your video content available.
And the same experience.
Absolutely. The same experience, and it's a multi-room, multi-location experience.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. So with the Mega DVR, is that just the same monthly fee, or will that be used?
So the Mega will actually come with product lifetime service. So when you purchase a Mega, there's no monthly service fee.
Oh, nice. Okay. And what is that going to be, $5,000 or $10,000?
So we don't have announced pricing currently. The estimated price is around $5,000.
Okay.
When we get closer to releasing it to the public, we'll probably release what the public retail price will be.
Oh, very nice.
And we're going to be selling them through our custom installer, custom integrator ecosystem throughout the country. And so they'll actually install it because it's a pretty heavy appliance. And
Anything rack mounted.
Yeah, rack mounted.
Yeah,
and if you have the money to install this, you probably have
installers
doing it.
Yeah, you got somebody doing it for you.
Yeah, you got somebody doing it for you.
Oh, very nice. All right, well, appreciate the time, and thanks for that.
Thank you. Have a great show.
All right, that was Dave. Great job on an interview with TiVo Mega DVR. Anything more to add to that, Dave?
They had a couple other TiVos there. One, I think it was called the Romeo, that they're going to start selling. I think it's for sale right now for $50, and that's just for over-the-air. And then it also has, you know, the Netflix integrated and all that stuff. But you have the monthly fee. So if you're just an OTA person and wanted the guide data and like the TiVo experience, that's an option there for sure.
Very interesting. Scott, did you get a chance to get over to TiVo booth yet?
No, TiVo is the only one I probably haven't been at.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and segue into some Dish Network stuff now. And before we do that, I'm going to remind everybody that the phone lines are open. And let's throw that number out again.
Phone lines are now open for Satellite Nation. Call us at 877-SAT-GUYS or 877-728-4897.
So, Scott, what do I understand that you might have a little something to give away there?
Yes, indeed. To the first person who calls in tonight and says Happy New Year and that they have a Dish Network system with a Joey, they will get one of the very first Joey Bluetooth adapters, which was just released by Dish. What a Joey Bluetooth adapter is you take this little adapter, little USB thing, plug it in the back of your Joey, and now you can watch your television at home using your favorite Bluetooth headphones, or if you want, you've got a Bluetooth speaker bar, whatever. Now you can enjoy it over Bluetooth. Get rid of the wires and make your wife happy. You can listen to your favorite show at night without aggravating her.
That's awesome. Okay, so the first caller, if you call in now.
Phone lines are now open for Satellite Nation. Call us at 877-SAT-GUYS or 877-728-4897.
So if you're the first caller and you just happen to have a Joey, or is that a Hopper and a Joey?
Yeah. Well, you need to have a Hopper and have a Joey.
Hopper, Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get a free Bluetooth adapter. So if anybody's listening this evening and wants to call, 877-728-4897. Give us a call if you have a Hopper Joey and want this awesome something that nobody else has yet, right?
Right, except me and Dave and Don.
You ain't got to use it yet, but, well, they won't either, I guess.
All right.
So the big talk of CES has been the Sling television. It's made the front page of USA Today yesterday, and it's being talked about all over the place. It's going to upset the way people watch TV. And we talked about it a little bit earlier, but one thing I did not mention about it was one real unique feature it has that's really, really cool. While it does not offer DVR features so you can record stuff and watch them back later, you can rewind back up to 3 days on the channels. So if you missed the show last night, you can go back to last night and watch it. It's really cool.
So even if you didn't set a timer or anything, you can go back and watch anything in the last 3 days?
That's correct.
Not on all the channels, on some of the channels.
Okay. Hey, we have a caller.
Caller.
Ooh, there we go. Ooh.
Here we go. Hello, caller. You are calling from area code 815. Welcome to Satellite Nation. Who do we have?
It's Bluegrass.
Well, Alan gets it, huh? I know he's got a Joey.
Yeah, but I got a Joey.
All right.
Happy New Year, Scott. Hopper Joey.
Yeah, okay. Shoot me your email. Shoot me your mailing address on Satellite, guys, and I'll mail it out to you on Monday.
Okay, cool. I wanted to ask you, what do you think of the new Carbon UI?
I like it. After getting to play around with it a while, I got to play with it for about an hour today. And
did you?
I like it now. Yeah. At first I was kind of like, why change a good thing? But now that they've done it, it makes a lot of sense to me. And it's good. And I love the fact that you can actually change the font sizes now. Because
mm-hmm.
that was a problem for a lot of people. They couldn't see the letters on the screen because they were too small. So now they can adjust
it. And
then
it that interview that you did. Yeah, that interview that you did, Scott, where you were talking about the new remote, seems like they're making a lot of advances now, really considering what that experience is. That new backlit remote sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Also,
I wanted
to ask you, when do you expect TuneIn iHeartRadio? Maybe spring,
as I told
summer?
You, 18 times, Alan. Coming in May or June.
May, June, okay. Thank
right,
you, Scott. I appreciate it.
Yeah, send me your address.
I sure will. Thanks,
right.
buddy.
Okay. Hey, thanks
back
for calling
to the
Bluegrass.
Getting back to the remote, I was not a fan, and I have a Dish Network touchpad remote that I got with my 922 when I was beta testing the 922. In fact, I got two of the remotes. And for me, it was very clunky to use. When you're watching TV in the dark, you know where the buttons are to do everything. And
exactly.
The way this remote is laid out is so much better than that remote was laid out. All the most common features you use are on the remote as buttons. The only thing really missing are the numbers and a bunch of other functions that you don't normally use, like the color buttons. So just by, you know, moving your fingers around, you can do it now. And if you need to punch in channel numbers, you hit a button on the remote, and the trackpad lights up, and you can see the numbers on the trackpad. And you just type them in on the trackpad like you dial in a telephone, and you're good to go. So it's a much bigger improvement.
Cool, but yeah, and it's really something, because when you think about when Dish Network takes on a remote control design, they keep the remote design until the cows come home. So this is something pretty big.
Yeah, this is something I would say revolutionary. And, you know, my Samsung 4K TV that I got has a touch pad remote, and I don't like it at all. But this one is completely different. I can get used to where the buttons are really, really quick. And then they also had another remote which featured, instead of having a touchpad, had arrow keys and also the number pad on it. So whatever the customer wants, they can use. And for current Dish customers, if you like your remote you have now, you can continue using it. If you want to purchase one of these remotes when they go on sale, you can purchase it. And the other difference between the one that has the numbers keys on it and the one that's touchpad, the touchpad also has the voice searching feature. So you can yell Gary Busey at the remote, and you'll be watching Gary Busey.
Gary Busey! Gary Busey!
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, this is a really good way to segue into your Dish Sling piece. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this, and then we'll roll that interview?
Yeah, so it's you know, it's the new $20 service where which I was amazed you can get ESPN and ESPN2. So the bit rate on it is at the best case is 5 megabit per second. They encoded in I believe 13 different stream sizes. So if you're on a 3G phone, you can watch it. Now it's only for one device at a time. So if you're watching on one device and someone logs in on another device, it kicks the first device off. But the app is the same on any device you watch it on. I mean, it will work with, you know, your Fire TV, Fire TV Stick, Roku, iOS, Android, you know, pretty much whatever device you have.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead. And if you guys don't have anything to add before we go into it, we'll go ahead and we'll run that interview right now.
Only thing I got to add to it is it only works in the U.S. It does not work outside
the
country.
Sling TV booth checking out the new Sling service. Tell us what's going on here, Max.
So, Dave, it's a pretty simple service, actually. We really designed it so that you can learn the interface in 30 seconds, and really anybody should be able to pick up a device and be able to start watching TV really immediately. We have the mini guide, which is our main content selection tool. So you can, on the top bar, browse by channel, and on the bottom bar, browse by what's on now and what is available in the look back category.
And so the look back, it goes back, 3 days or so?
So the look back varies depending on programmer, but so for some of our programmers, we do have a 3-day look back. For others, it's a little different. You can see here we have a couple days. We're looking at Food Network, and we can look back to Saturday.
Yeah.
And so that's quite nice. Then finding movies that you want to watch is just as easy. You go to the menu and the movies category. And one thing that I really like about this product is for every movie we have, we also have the availability to watch a trailer.
Okay.
So you can go in there, you can save it, you can watch it, or you could watch a trailer. Another interesting thing I like about this is you could get more info, and you see this movie, we're looking at The Equalizer. Denzel Washington is in it. So if you like Denzel Washington, you can click his tile here, and it'll show all of the other movies that are available with Denzel Washington. So I really like that feature. It helps me find just more of the stuff that I'm looking for easily. And so it's really nice that the UI is so flat. It takes 30 seconds to learn, and we really tried to make it the same across all devices. So if you have an iPad and you know how to use an iPad, you'll be fine. But if you move on to an Android or you move on to a Roku or an Amazon Fire TV, it's going to work the same. And that's really important, I feel, for our customers to just get them the content they're looking for as quickly as possible and for a really, I think, affordable price.
Yeah, and we're watching it through Wi-Fi at CES and it's playing fine.
It is playing fine. It looks great, and everybody who's been to CES knows that the network congestion here is crazy. The 3G is hard to stand up, but here we are on Wi-Fi, and high-quality video looks great.
And my feature I like is from a geek aspect. You can go into the setting and actually look at the bit rate that it's streaming at.
Correct. So here we are, settings, connection, and right now we're coming in at 1.3 megabytes per second.
Yeah.
And you also have different ways that you can limit your qualities. Should you be on a data cap or something like that, you could drop it down or drop it up. So here we have no limit streaming. And let's give it a second and see if it comes in any faster. So if we had more available connection to us, it would bump it up a little bit, and then we'd have even greater quality video.
Now, the cool thing, though, is even in the low quality, if you just had a 768K DSL line, it would still stream.
Yes.
So,
so you're still working.
Only get that, but
sure.
And so we got the look back to go through, and ESPN comes right through.
Live sports, look back, movies. We also have some cool filtering, so if you want to filter by sports or entertainment, or just say, like, you want to give it to your kids, just select this family tier, and then there's your Disney and your baby TV and ABC Family. And so then there's just your kids' channels. You can hand it off to your kid and not worry about what they're looking at.
Yeah, definitely. And so when the more packs come out, or the additional, will those probably show up?
Correct, sir. Yeah, we'll have, as more functionality rolls out with this product, we'll have creative and effective ways to be able to upgrade your service or find more channels that you're looking for and just through the app subscribe.
Yeah, this is great. So this is the first, and we're excited to check this out. And so it's going to come out this month for public release?
Yes, sir.
And now if you're lucky enough to have Dish World right now, I think you can check it out right now.
You
right?
can, yes. So we're in beta with our Dish World customers, and so if you were a current Dish World customer a couple weeks ago, you got a little special email from us and said, hey, we'd like to show you some domestic content. Please have a beta of our product. And the feedback's really come back good.
Excellent. Let me ask you one other question.
Yes, sir.
So if you were to sign up for Dish World right now, would that get you into the beta? Or you had to be a premium customer?
I think you had to get grandfathered in.
Okay.
Sorry, dude.
Well, I appreciate it, man.
Well, that was a great interview. Dave, did you kind of swing into that? Are you going to be able to be part of their beta program, or are you out in the cold?
I'm out in the cold.
Dang. How about you,
hey,
Scott?
Guys.
You going to be able to be in?
I don't know. I'd like to be in, but I haven't begged enough for that, I don't think.
Yeah, Dave.
So I've been here three years in a row, and every year I've gone and tried to find something FTA related, and it's really hard. Well, this year I finally found something. And I'd like to share it. I don't know how practical it is for some people. Some people might like it. But there's a company, Dr. HD, and
beautiful
in my
receivers.
Hands right now. They've got some. I've got one of the receivers now. The Hotcake HD5, which is quite an interesting name. But I also have a 3-port DISEC switch with an external temperature sensor. So what this does is there's a little, it almost looks like a filter. Well, it is a filter that goes into the DISEC switch and then it goes into the receiver. And then on the receiver, it will show you when you turn it on or if you hit one of the buttons on the remote what the temperature is outside. So, I mean, it's not the greatest thing, but I found something. So I was kind of excited and be interested to see how it works when I get home.
Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Probably going to be Celsius.
Maybe. But, hey, very cool. Hey, how about, has anyone run into our good friend from Telesatellite Magazine, Mr. Weiss?
We looked for Alexander, but we could not find him.
I went to where his booth
okay.
was last year and didn't see him, and didn't find him in the directory either.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was supposed to be meeting up with him before I decided to come down with this wonderful flu. So I do know he's around somewhere.
Huh. Hmm. Yeah, we did look for him.
All right.
That's ignorant.
So you found one FTA product. Understand you saw a couple other, maybe some set-top box manufacturers there, Dave?
I found several set-top box manufacturers, but no interviews because, to be honest, I had a hard time communicating with them. So it was, you know, it was all the same. It was, you know, the Novatech chipset. And, you know, one pet peeve I had, I saw a lot of Android boxes. And a lot of them in their booth had Android with ATSC. So you'd go up to the booth, let me see the receiver. Oh, we don't have that one yet. And it's like, why did you put it on the thing? So
isn't it that way every year, though? I mean, simply
yes.
Every year they throw up these logos, and then you go up and ask them, we're working on that. Come by, you know, give me your email address. Well, very interesting. Now, also staying kind of with the old EchoStar Dish Network, you also talked about another product that EchoStar's coming out with. Dave, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so it's called Sage, and it's a home automation type product, and that was all over at the Sands Home Automation. And so it's basically you have a control box. It almost reminded me of the old Google TV where you would bring your HDMI in from your source and then HDMI out from the Sage box to your TV. And it had a lot of cool features. You could do filters, so if someone rang the doorbell, you could automatically have it bring up the camera on the TV, or, you know, there was door sensors. If someone opened the door, you could have it do this, and, you know, light bulbs, thermostats, you know, door locks, all kinds of things.
Very cool. Now, the interview that you did on that is about 10 minutes long, so that would just totally chew the show here. So are you going to be going ahead and post that interview on Satellite Guys?
We probably will, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so this is
I go to the Sage stuff, and I don't know if it's ever going to be a reality, to be honest with you. It used a bunch of different mismatches of cameras and temperature gauges and doorbells and things like that. And there was general off-the-shelf consumer items that a lot of people already have, such as D-Link cameras. And I was told if you already have one of those cameras, you will not be able to use it with the new Sage system. You have to buy one of theirs because it uses a special secret protocol. And I just can't see people who already invested their money and stuff buying something, you know, throwing it out and buying a new one to get this to work. And unfortunately, I think that's going to be a problem for them.
Agreed, 100%. Agreed.
I was kind of surprised that Hughes would even venture into a market like that, to be honest with you.
Well, what they did was they originally designed it for the Dish Hopper, and they realized there's a big market out there for this home security, home automation, home security camera stuff, and they said, hey, we own Hughes. Instead of just releasing it for the Dish Hopper, why don't we release it to anybody? We'll make a little box. You can plug your HDMI cable into it from whatever set-top box you're using into this, and then it gives you all the features just like you're using a Dish Hopper. But again, I have a problem with the equipment they're actually using. I don't want to replace all my security cameras just to be able to use this. I want to use what I have now.
Yeah, and what we have now is it's not proprietary. I mean, there's no reason for that.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that way.
Now, Dave, as you wandered around, I pictured you in a hot tub doing this next interview. Do you want me just to roll into it?
Sure. This is Dave. I'm here with Robert from Nine, and we're looking at the Aqua, and it's a complete waterproof speaker that actually floats. Can you tell us a little bit about this, Robert?
This is the new speaker that we developed last year. It is a fully waterproof IPX7 speaker. It's designed to float. It can be submersed in water safely. Of course, we prefer that it play above water. This speaker, it has a full rubberized body, which is molded to the plastic, so you don't have to worry about peeling or leaking. This one has Bluetooth connectivity, so you can listen to your music wirelessly while you leave your device, next to the pool. You don't have to bring it in. How far of a range is it from
this one is the standard Bluetooth range, which is 33 feet.
33 feet. Okay. So the idea is you have your phone up on the chair at the pool, and this goes in the pool with you.
Yeah, yeah. This one would go in the pool with you. There's multiple. This one has multiple functions that you can use in the water, so you don't have to access your phone. So for example, if you want to change the song, you can hold up the plus button and change the song.
Okay.
You can double tap the phone icon, which will allow you to access the voice assistant on your phone.
Oh, nice.
To make a call, to change a song, anything like that.
And so, like, say a call comes in, what would you hit the...
Yeah, if a call comes in, you just hit the phone button right there.
Phone button.
Yeah,
okay.
And then you can answer the call. It has a waterproof microphone on it, so you can safely take calls while you're in the pool.
Very nice.
It's our new exciting speaker.
So 33 feet, so I guess you could probably use it if you had a boat and you're around the boat. So
yeah.
Very cool. Well, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem.
So, were you in the hot tub there, Dave?
No, I wish I was. After walking so much, it would have been nice.
Yeah, how many miles is every aisle? If you walk every aisle, do they give you an idea of that?
I have a lot.
I'm wearing an up 24.
Maybe not more anyway.
I did almost 7 miles today.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, and this year I understand they increased the floor space considerably over past years.
Yeah, they're in so many places now, it's ridiculous.
I went over to the Sands today, and it was huge. So, I mean, there was, I couldn't even get to it all.
All right. Hey, Scott, you have something hot off the wire. What you got there?
Yeah, I'm just getting the word in that AT&T is going to be following the role of what T-Mobile did a few weeks ago, and is going to start offering roll over data, so you can bank your unused data.
Oh, nice.
On your mobile phone. So T-Mobile,
very
say
cool.
What you want about them, but they're forcing the industry to change big time.
No doubt.
Yeah, they are.
Aren't they the ones that
what you
started
got there,
the rollover?
Michael? Let's bring in this caller here from Los Angeles and see who we got here. Good evening, 661.
Hello, caller from area code 661. You are on Satellite Nation. Who we have there? Okay.
Hello.
And
there we go.
Hit the kill button, and then I always wanted to use this.
You know what? I bet you anything that's Robbie. He's been trying to get it every week. He'll send me an email after the show. He's been trying to get it every week for 2 months. And he's calling in from Canada, but through a Skype, and it gives him a 661 number every time. He says he can't get to work for some reason. It just won't go through.
All right. Hey, Michael, if you can, bring down your level just a little bit.
All right.
All right. So what else you guys got there? You talked about the autonomous cars that are driving around outside. Anyone get hit, killed? Let's find out.
No hitting, no killing. I did get to see one in operation, and it is the world's slowest thing. when you hit the button, you got your smartphone app, and you tell it to park the car. From where it leaves you until it finds a parking space, which was only, 150 feet away, it took it about 2 minutes to do it. It was so
slow. Is that the Audi?
Yeah.
Is that the Audi? Okay, yeah. If you look online, there... Google Audi parking space autonomous driving. Yeah, I looked at that. I went, oh man, you might as well call your car back up to the valet stand when you go into the mall.
Very, very, very slow. And you know, the self-driving cars ain't really that new. I got myself a 2014 Jeep Cherokee, and it drives itself currently. In line and adaptive cruise.
Well, yeah, we're losing you there. Get over by the window, Scott. We're losing you.
So you got the
adaptive cruise control, so you can just set your speed and take your hands off. Take your feet off the pedals, and if you stop at a stoplight, the car stops. You don't need to do anything.
Back in the 80s, my first car, it was an Opel GT, and I treated it once like it was a self-driving car. Fell asleep at the wheel, and it didn't do too well.
When you're going down the highway, you can take your hands off the wheel, and it will actually turn the corners for you. Of course, if you keep your hands off the wheel while it's turning for more than 5 seconds, it yells at you and tells you to put your hands back on the wheel. But really, the self-driving technology is already in the cars. It's kind of neat.
Doesn't that kind of just get you all pissed off? Because that's the job of your wife to tell you how to drive, not these cars. Before anybody writes me any bad emails or texts, that's the drugs talking, and I'm fighting the flu here. I do not feel that.
My last guy, and I'm like, whoa, what's it?
So, Dave, as you wandered around the floor and you found this little floaty speaker toy, what else did you find? Any new things when it comes down to cellular phones or anything?
Not cellular phones, but I did find a new radio Midland is coming out with. It's $99. It's 5 watts. It comes with the antenna, and it does the Michael, make sure I say this. I think it's the GRMS. So you have to, pay.
Yeah.
I think it's $75 license fee to the FCC. And saw that. That looked pretty attractive to me. Saw a lot of, the 3D printers, and home automation was pretty big over at the Sands. They had quite a few aisles of home automation. It all pretty much seemed like the same.
You get a chance to get anything in photography?
For what?
Photography.
I played with a lot of stuff today at the Sony booth, and at the Nikon booth. They had very nice stuff coming out. Sony has an excellent 4K camcorder that the most awesome stabilization control I've ever seen on any. And it was almost equal to the professional grade 4K camera, and the price of it was only
$9.99.
That's crazy. I'm gonna have to app on one of those.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
One of the things I saw all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I saw all over the place was record players. Vinyl is back in a big way here at CES this year.
I've been looking at record players because I wanted to transfer a lot of my stuff across. And the hobbyist forum for the audiophiles, they don't like those USB ones. So are they making some big changes? Are they putting better filters? Are they doing some things to change the perception of the new turntables rather than going legacy?
Yes, in fact, Crowley, who a lot of people probably bought their cheap little $60 USB cable, they have one out for $4.99 that they were showing today that was audiophile grade, and they were having people test them out side by side, and the sound difference between the two was phenomenal. It's one of those ones where you can really transfer your albums to digital format really easy, and the filtering in it was also very awesome. You could put a record on it with a lot of pops and clicks on it, and it took it right out. It was a really neat thing to see.
Very interesting.
Scott,
did
that automatically convert it in the box, or did you have to hook it up to computer, or how did it output from the...
You did through USB still. It did output it to the computer, but you could use any recording program. You weren't tied to their specific program.
All right. Hey, we're going to give area code 661 another try. Area code 661, you're on Satellite Nation. Maybe. Are you there?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah. We can hear you. You are
no.
on Satellite Nation.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I've been having very bad service through Skype the last few weeks. I've been trying to call in, and luckily my $50 Android tablet I got from Walmart, so that I guess is working tonight.
Excellent. Who is this?
This is Robert in Ontario.
Hey, Robert. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Good. Yeah. Actually, I was just listening in because I was trying to get the stream off Access America, and then that wasn't coming on right at the top of the hour, so I just decided I tried to listen to it through Blog Talk, but it kind of put it, so then I just called in through Skype.
All right. Well, yeah, I just picture Ralph probably slumped over his console or really busy with one of his backhauls. So, yeah, for some reason, we are not on satellite tonight, and I do apologize to Satellite Nation.
I think I just heard you just now, actually. I was listening to it. I tuned the, but I don't. I have to bump my KU bandish, so I think I was hearing you.
Guaranteed. I'm listening to the Roaring Twenties right now. No, we're not up.
It might be some.
All right, Robert. Do you have
another...
any questions about? Do you have any questions about CES, Robert?
Any satellite stuff there, like free to air stuff, or probably nothing like that on CES? Eh?
Yeah, actually, hey. A little bit. I actually came back, got them to. With the new meter from Dr. HD, the 1000S. It's a satellite finder, spectrum analyzer, receiver, and the whole nine yards. So I'm going to post a little review about that coming up. Saw some LNBFs at one place, and they had one for a flat panel dish. I know they've been talking about that a little bit on the forum, so that was kind of interesting to see. But not too much, to be honest with you, Robert.
Mm. Yeah, all right.
Thanks for calling there, Robert.
I'll just go back to listen. Yep.
All right, we won't drop you. We'll just put you on mute here. Thanks for calling, Robert.
Thank you.
Yeah, good hearing that, Robert.
All right, well, we only have a couple of minutes left here, so let's go ahead and put a big old bow on CES. Winner, loser, glad you spent the money, or was there things better to do on the Strip than go to CES?
Well, to be honest with you, Brian, if it wasn't for getting a hobnob with the Satellite Guys members and some bigwigs at some companies, it wouldn't be worth coming out here because everything is announced online before we get to see it at the press conferences.
How about you, Dave?
Yeah, definitely worth it. I get to hang out with some good people and, you know, get to see some new stuff. A lot of it seems like it's the same thing, but, yeah, definitely worth it.
All right. Well, next year, Satellite Guys, mark your calendars. We'll maybe see you in Vegas at the Consumer Electronics Show 2016. Hey, thanks, guys.
January 6th.
Some good reporting off the floor.
All right. We're going to have our staff dinner tonight. We're going out for steak.
All right. Well, have a dessert on me, my friends. You guys have a great time, and we're going to be wrapping up the show tonight.
All right. Good talking to you, everybody.
All right. Well, Michael, do you have anything to throw in there?
No, I believe we are about out of time here, so we will. We got a couple of interesting people coming the next couple of weeks here, so don't forget to tune in next week.
Sounds good. Hey, Satellite Nation, we'll catch you next week, and thank you very much for being part of the show tonight. Until next week, Happy New Year's, everybody. Be safe and enjoy.
Good night, everybody.
All that tuned in tonight. Join Satellite Guys Michael and Brian next Wednesday for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. And don't forget to like our page at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio.